Pelican Dole served...
Blog Talk Radio.
Senator Dole died last weekend at the age of 98. Some lawsuits challenging the controversial abortion law in Texas can move forward, according to a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. Justices did not rule on the constitutionality of the measure that prohibits abortions after roughly 6 weeks of pregnancy. Critics say the law is a near-total ban on abortion in the Lone Star State. The Supreme Court will rule on a broader abortion case from Mississippi in the late spring or early summer. A spike in energy and gas prices is being blamed for rising inflation. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says energy prices rose 33.3% over the last 12 months. Numbers for gasoline have risen by 58% in the last year. Lisa Taylor, NBC News Radio.
There are over 20,000 homeless in our state, and many are children. When overlooked, they can harbor feelings of anger, isolation, and shame. You can help. Since 2009, Birthday Dreams has been providing these kids with hope, joy, and an increased sense of self-worth. Birthday Dreams has helped over 10,000 children with the gift of a birthday party. Volunteer as a cake maker, gift wrapper, delivery driver, or become a financial donor. Visit birthdaydreams.org. That's birthdaydreams.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look at Benadryl. Saturday Talk Weather Outlook for Friday. Well, we'll see mostly clouds and rain today. High temperatures around 43, 44 degrees. Tonight, the clouds and rain will hang around, and we will also bring the speeds up on the wind. Gusts up to 25 to 30 miles an hour in selected areas. Be on the lookout for that. Saturday, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures around 47. They will continue for most of the weekend, and highs all weekend will be in the low 40s.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Mesiti is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Mesiti and Transformation Talk Radio.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Epchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change?
Hello, everybody. Welcome. You might be listening live here on 1150 AM KKNW in the Seattle area, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, from around the world live, on Facebook live on my professional page, or anywhere around the world after the fact on my YouTube channel or one of the dozens of podcasts that sends up. But wherever and whenever you're joining us from today, I can't think of a more important topic. And before I introduce our guest and talk about that topic, I want to say hello and thank you to the people behind the technology. Good morning, Benny.
Hi there, Christine, and we're off to another grand day here.
We are, and it's dreary as all get out, but, you know, it is December in Seattle.
Yeah, I know. But it's winter time up in the mountains, so if you ever want to sneak out up there and, you know, the old Cascades and get your wet feet,
yes.
You know, there you go.
Yep, the river deluge down here is good skiing up there.
I know.
Yeah, and hello, Jacob at TTR. Thank you for being here today and doing what you're doing.
Of course, great to see you, Christine.
Nice to see you. Well, I don't really see you, but, you know, nice to hear you. And I'm really excited about our guest today because we are going to be talking about belief systems. We're going to be talking about how our belief systems get in the way of not only truth, but get in the way of us meeting our potential, expanding in important ways. Our guest today is Jason Kristoff. He is a self-sabotage expert. He talks about brainwashing tactics, and we're going to go into deep dive about that. He runs an international self-sabotage coaching school, and he's got many coaches. He's trained to do this as well. He discovered many years ago that manipulative psychology, behavior modification, brainwashing and mental conditioning and mind control are continually weaponized against us. From our governments, from, you know, our organizations. And you know what? When you have awareness about that, you can first of all see truth of what's going on, but you can also realize that you can employ those same kinds of techniques to reprogram your own life so that you can live your full potential. He has a website called freedomfromselfsabotage.com, and I would like to welcome our guest today, Jason Christoff. Hey, Jason.
Well, thanks for that introduction, Christine. Very kind.
Well, you know, Jason, I forget how I came across you, but when I heard one of your interviews, I thought, you know, I've been talking a lot about belief systems, working on a book, challenging belief systems about spirituality. And one of the things that I've experienced over the last year and a half is I've awakened more deeply to my own belief structures that are getting in the way of seeing truth. I'm always curious about how my guests have sort of found their path to teaching and sharing what they have to share. What got you interested in self-sabotage?
Well, I was, when you said I was a master self-sabotage expert, I was an expert at self-sabotage at one time because that's really all I did. I was like your typical North American soulless meatbag. And I was programmed to sabotage and to find the worst of myself. I mean, I did graduate from McGill University in 1994, and I opened my first business 6 months after I graduated university. But I came to find out later, unfortunately, I wish I would have found out at the time, but I was infected with these mind viruses, these programs. And they were centered around self-loathing and self-attack, self-destruction, self-abuse. And what I know now is they were put into me in sort of the only way they can be impregnated into anybody, through repetitive content. And we act those out outside of conscious awareness. So when I opened my business, it was a smashing success. So I had access to very large sums of money while carrying these self-abusive and self-hatred-based programs in my subconscious. And even though you get these negative results, and I'll tell you, it's no exaggeration, I got some really negative results in my life, and you can't stop it because these programs, I mean, the part of the brain that runs these programs will always run the old repetitive content unless you put in like new repetitive content. But we're not privy to this sort of technology. So by the time I was 29, these self-abusive mind viruses or programs I was running in my subconscious mind really got the better of me. I was literally almost dead. So I phoned a very high-end institution for healing in California called the Czech Institute. It's run by Paul Czech, C-H-E-K. He's the number one health guru in the world, and they really focus, the higher end practitioners in that institution know about the mind and the programming that sort of government institutions and media really impregnate into us. So when they show up, they're not like regular helpers. They're not going to tell you to, I mean, I was drinking alcohol, doing steroids, doing cocaine. They're not just going to tell you to stretch, go to bed on time, and eat right, and drink more water. They're not going to say that. They know this guy is programmed. He's like a computer. He's running the wrong programs. And although you can strong arm this part of the mind a little bit, like I could probably eat well for a couple weeks or drink water on time for a couple weeks, the programs always sort of come around the bend and then dominate your behavior. So they started to use a form of the same brainwashing that made me a human mess. It's the same brainwashing they used to make me a human success. So they really started going and reprogramming me to eat right without them being around, without the pressure, to really embrace a healthier lifestyle. So I was so impressed with their teachings I went out to the, you know, Czech Institute in California, got certified as well. And then when I came back, I mean, the Czech Institute, their master's in nutrition, exercise, and healing and healthy living, I was only applying the healthy living aspect without the psychology. And although people would pay me thousands of dollars to try to rehab their bodies or their health or reverse their disease, they had the same programming I had. They couldn't hang on. They would need to lose 50 pounds, and then they would lose 10. And to be honest with you, Christine, they would lose 10, and they'd be frightened, terrified. They would be absolutely terrified to walk farther and, you know, lose the full 50, and they would scurry back to their old habits, their old wine, their old coffee, their old pizza. And they would never get anywhere. So I started to use the same brainwashing and mind control and behavior modification techniques that I learned through some of the higher-end Czech professionals. And I started to add my own, because I started to research that very interesting topic on my own. And I would literally brainwash and mind control so they wouldn't need me. Like, they would not fire me, but we'd part ways, and they would stop doing everything for life. They would stop hurting themselves for a lifetime. I'd change their initial, you know, the program that they were running in their subconscious mind. It's like removing a record in a jukebox and putting a new record down and really getting rid of that old record so it would never play again. So that's how I really got, and then it exploded because people were like, what are you doing to make these people so healthy? Like, what's the exercise program? I'm like, well, it's not really an exercise program. I'd sort of just program them to, you know, put a new record in that jukebox, and they would just live it out. Because this is how this part of the brain is designed. If you can install a new program through repetition, the part of the brain we're talking about is the subconscious. It always needs sort of a roadmap or a script in regards to interfacing with the world. And all you have to do is put in a new script instead of the kind of crappy one that our conventional institutions install for us. And the subconscious is a machine. It's like a blender. You don't care how the blender works. You just put in the smoothie ingredients and press the button. You just dump in positive repetition in the direction of your goals. And there's a particular reason that the subconscious is sort of obsessed with repetition and why it lives out repetition, but all you have to do is control what repetitive content you expose yourself to, and this machine literally does the rest.
So I think, Jason, that many people think that our programming often comes from childhood woundedness. And, you know, we've taken deep dives with that on this show. Does it come from other places as well?
Yeah, our behavior is, it's a compilation. I mean, your subconscious mind has more like a notepad, like a server at a restaurant, and it compiles your whole life on that notepad. And then it sorts it by repetition. And a lot of people really don't know how fast someone's behavior can change based on exposure to different repetitive content. It's better explained with some real-world explanations, some examples. There was a movie, it was called Gone in 60 Seconds. It was released in 2001, and it was with Angelina Jolie and Nicolas Cage, and it was a movie about car theft. And the Nicolas Cage was the hero. He had to steal 100 cars to save his brother from a local thug. Now, the people who rule us know that the subconscious mind, because they have a lot of documentation and research on it, the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between imagined thought, screen time, and real life. So if you're in the theater watching Gone in 60 Seconds, it's a movie about, like I said, car theft. It's very repetitive. And the reason the subconscious mind is obsessed with repetitive content is because it knows that human behavior is very simple. Most humans do what they're doing because everybody else is doing it. And most humans, like other humans, if they talk, think, and act like they do. So the reason the subconscious mind is obsessed with repetitive content, because it needs a script so that you can be safe in the bigger herd, and it associates the most repetitive behaviors, thoughts, and ideas with the majority. And if you can mimic what the majority is doing, you're safer. So the subconscious is a safety protection protocol which downloads your entire life, sorts it through repetition, and then forces you to act out that repetition in an attempt to increase your survivability by bonding or thinking and behaving like the herd.
Yeah,
and the people who rule us know that. So if we go back with that knowledge to the theater and we see the people in the theater watching a movie about car theft, if you were to interview anybody in that theater and say, do you believe that a movie about car theft and repetitive images of car theft can make you steal a car in an unconscious attempt to bond with the herd? Absolutely, I would say yes if I was in the theater, but majority would say that no, that's absolute poppycock. But when this movie was released, because the subconscious can't tell the difference between real time, what's on the screen, and imagined thought, when this part of the brain sits down in the theater, it literally thinks, I am in a car theft tribe. The repetitive content on my server's list is reflective of car theft, and for me to find safety and security and increase survivability in this herd tribe or new town, if I mimic what's on the top of the list, I will accomplish and satisfy that safety function that most people know nothing about. And when this movie was released in Burnaby, BC, Canada, the police complained that car theft went up 70% in the first 4 days. And then other towns where this movie was released, car theft also went up dramatically because the average person does not know that repetitive content forms their behavior outside their conscious awareness. We can have another example, The Cosby Show.
Yeah. But hold on a sec. Let's talk about that movie because to me, one of the significant pieces is that it was not only repetitive content, it was repetitive content, and even though it was bad behavior, it was for, you know, securing the safety of somebody this guy loved. And therefore, it was, even though it was amoral, if you, you know, as you will, it had some greater purpose. So it, to me, that kind of programming is even more insidious because it had, you know, if somebody is a part of that tribe, they think, oh, well, I'm doing this for a higher purpose. I'm doing it for something good.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's various different layers. It's even worse than you think because when repetitive content, and this is, we're getting right into the psychological manipulation, but when the repetitive content is positively reinforced, so you had the head car thief getting Angelina Jolie, which is a quite striking young lady, this goes, that's more safety because the part of the brain we're talking about doesn't only sort of assess safety in numbers. There's a safety in procreation. There's a safety in moving your genes into the next generation. So if you're going to steal cars and get with a nice genetically able lady like Angelina Jolie, there's more survivability. So it's about survivability in the present by bonding with the present tribe, but it's also about if you can impress Angelina Jolie and steal cars and then maybe mate with her, there's a future generational survivability that's also satisfied on a psychological level. And there we go. We're off to the races. I don't think any ladies were caught stealing cars that night. I think it was all men, of course, trying to get you. And this is, the, you know, you can, you know, they talk about the metaverse, but whoever stole the car that night was already living in their own movie-based metaverse. They just didn't have the virtual reality helmet strapped to their head, but they were exposed to something that modified their behavior, their nervous system. And this is a form of magic. You can use it for good. I use it for good and actually use the same techniques. But the people who rule us, unfortunately, know that if we, what we see is what will be. And the phrase in the media is what's on the screen at in the morning will be on the street at night. So you can see that fear and terror and panic and addiction and single motherhood and alcohol consumption and tattoos and many anti-God themes, et cetera, for better or for worse, where everybody, regardless of where people stand on that, the pattern, the repetitive patterns out of Hollywood are always negative. And that's why people are mimicking and getting a lot of negative results in their lives, which means they become dependent, because people with problems, they're not independent. They have disease, they financial destitution, they're in financial deficit, and then you get this dependence. And dependent-based societies are always left-leaning because they can't survive on their own. They need help. Left-leaning societies, or societies that are dependent on government for handouts, they're always easy targets. So there's a method to their madness. There's a method to try and drown the public in negative, repetitive content in order to produce a dependent society, so that society is just easier to govern, control, lie to, and manipulate.
And one of the things that harkens back to that movie is that Nicolas Cage's character was doing this for the safety of his brother.
Correct.
And I see some of the manipulation that's underway. A lot of the manipulation is basically programming people to believe that they should do certain things for the benefit of the whole. And it's this insidious programming. Like, if you're going to be a good member of community, if you're going to be a good person in your family so you don't kill grandma, like, you're going to do certain things. And it's there are a lot of people who have bought into this repetitive programming.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to. So we don't knock them, of course, but it would be great if they knew the basis of their own behavior. You have that this is a safety-based mechanism, because everything the subconscious tabulates on the list, and the reason it organizes the list for repetitive content is it wants to be safe. So when you come out directly in the media and saying not only is the majority doing X, Y, and Z, but it's for your safety, you get like a double ring of the bell inside the subconscious mind. And then it's a triple ring, because when you're in fear, like when an animal's in fear, it needs the tribe more. It needs the wolf pack more. There's been study of wolves that go out and get in like little tussles. And if they come back with a wound, they go to the middle of the herd. They're no longer the lone wolf. They can't survive. They literally can't hack another fight. So if they are injured, the group behavior tendencies really upregulate. And this is why this sort of attack that you're alluding to, for, say, 40 years, they drown the public in many different poisons that literally injure the human animal. And when animals are injured, it upregulates their group-based tendencies. So alcohol hurts the body, coffee hurts the body, junk food hurts the body, smoking hurts the body. In Canada, they've legalized marijuana coast to coast, and there's many different reasons they're doing that. But the fact of the matter is, whether it's Teflon, which is proven to hurt the body, microwave food, if you eat it, hurts the body, fluoride is proven to damage the body. So it's what we're seeing in regards to the mind control is that there's a lot of foundational underpinning already put into the society before we see what rolled out in 2020. You would need a well-injured society and before, so that they would be more, there would be a lot more group following potential in a diseased society. And I'm pretty sure you know, and many of the guests have discussed, there's a lot of chemicals and toxins in our society, and all the diseases have been upregulating for about 100 years.
So what do you mean by upregulating?
Well, diabetes is doubling every 5 years. Cancer is doubling every 10 years. So that represents an injured human, and injured humans are more prone to follow the herd without question or resistance. So there's repetitive-based mind control, but there's many ways to upregulate it so you get more and more people following the herd. One of them is injuring the animal before you install the repetitive content. Yeah.
And what about isolation? Because that, in my mind, that has played into it as well in terms of getting people to buy into something that I won't actually say what it is, but I think most people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, isolation, there's nothing that scares the subconscious more than the number one, being alone, right? I mean, the word alone comes from the word loon, like a loon, and it's the French word for the moon, which is known as the lonely one or the only one in the sky without a partner. So, and in the subconscious mind, if you feed it a single repetitive idea, it actually doesn't even really register on its list. There has to be at least two sort of repetitions of an idea or a behavior for the subconscious to even pay attention to it, because there's no protection or security or survivability being a single. So it maximizes, you know, if you're isolated, it maximizes fear, and fear is being shown to shut off the frontal lobe. And the frontal lobe has a very small percentage of questioning herd-based behavior even when it's working. So if the fear shuts off the frontal lobe, the electrical activity in the brain is pushed back and shunted into the limbic system. And the limbic system is a following low IQ, child-based, no long-term consequences ability part of the brain. So when you're in fear, it upregulates it again. So if you had a tribe and they were exposed to repetitive content, you'd probably have 30% of the tribe follow the group-based behavior. If you infuse the tribe with alcohol or caffeine, it's going to go to 60. And then if you just keep piling in the fear or isolate them, it could go to 80. There's different ways to there's different modalities by which you can inflict upregulation and group-based behavior on humans who don't know what's really happening or why the media is drowning them in fear or why there's a coffee shop in every corner or why coffee is the number one repetitive imprint in all Hollywood film. That's the most repetitive imprint in all Hollywood film, and so second is alcohol, because these are the two primary upregulatory modalities or chemicals that they increase what's called trance or alpha brainwave state, which means someone who's caffeinated or has alcohol in their system for the past 3 weeks, they can be put under mind control a lot easier than someone who doesn't have that.
Interesting, interesting. It has to do with the brainwaves that it puts your body into.
Yeah, it actually changes. You could even look it up. They don't even really try and hide it. You could just put caffeine and alpha brainwave state. You could put alcohol and alpha brainwave state and DuckDuckGo. You could even put THC or smoking THC, alpha brainwave state. Then you'd be like, okay, so what does that teach me? Okay, so they induce alpha brainwave state. If you want to know the connection between alpha brainwave state, TV programming, and how the mind works, go watch a documentary called Pseudology, The Art of Lying, and it reviews how dangerous that brainwave state is for programming a population to follow the herd right off the cliff.
So let's talk a little bit about brainwaves and alpha, beta, theta. What do they have to do with our functioning?
Well, alpha brainwave state's a really relaxed state, and then it sort of shuts down critical thinking. It really it's like a direct pathway into the subconscious mind. So if you're in beta, you can sort of question what's going on. But when you're in alpha, there's no questioning. So it just sort of, picture a big truck backing up its big load of propaganda, you know, that truck sound, beep, beep, beep. And then it just dumps it right in your open brain. And then this part of the brain, the subconscious, and its furious download of repetitive content is counting the repetitive content without resistance and literally acting it out. Like people act out the repetitive content, whether they think they do or not. Like the Cosby Show was released in 1989, and Dr. Huxtable, African-American medical doctor, Then we have Mrs. Huxtable Claire, African-American lawyer. And during the nine-year run of the show, African-American enrollment in medical school and law school went up 19%.
Yeah.
Right? So people copy. Well, you could do Fast and the Furious cars. Everybody's getting the Honda Civics with the loud mufflers and the lights under their car. Or you could do the Queen's Gambit, which was on Netflix, a show, a movie about chess playing and prescription drug abuse and alcohol abuse. But chess sales went up 1,000% in the first 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Chess sets. So people copy. They don't know what they do. I mean, that's what sales are about. I mean, if you have three advertisements for Pepsi at the Super Bowl and you're watching the Super Bowl, your subconscious mind writes it down on the list, and three imprints of the Pepsi symbol in your subconscious mind is very powerful. It says, this is a very powerful tribe, very popular tribe. So the next time you see Pepsi, maybe engraved as a symbol on next to the Pizza Hut symbol, you're drawn there because your subconscious is like, hey, that's the safe try. I mean, this is what advertising is about. So whether people like it or not, this is how your brain works. And the people who rule you know it better than anybody. Know it better than me, know it better than some of the psychologists I study under. Mm-hmm. They know it. And they can make you do things. Many things that people do today, I estimate about 60 to 70% of people's habits make no logical or rational sense whatsoever. It gives them negative feedback all the time. They see they're depressed. They see they're overweight. They see they're in deficit. And they see they can't hold relationships. Their wives or husbands are also experiencing negative blowback, negative stimuli, negative feedback. They can't stop, because they don't understand that repetitive content forces their hand, forces their behavior.
So let's talk a little bit about Hollywood, because I think there are many people who are aware that when they see a television commercial or pharmaceutical product or something, that they're being manipulated, that they're being programmed. And so if somebody's watching a show and they're fast-forwarding through the commercials, they might think, oh, they're just trying to sell me something. But what about those shows? What about the movies? Do you feel that the content has some sort of darker purpose, or do you think it just is entertainment?
Well, if you know what I know, you definitely understand that the TV was actually developed as a bona fide military weapon in about 1920. And it was always about repetitive content to change the behavior of the people watching it. But what's really interesting is the basis of that technology goes all the way back thousands of years to a country called Media. Now, I can't make this up. The country was called Media. It was where Iran or Azerbaijan is today. And there were some very smart psychology experts there that found out through trial and error that humans copy repetitive content. They used to have a play, the hero would wear the red cape, and then the next day as they're walking through the agora, they saw everybody, all the men were wearing red capes. They go to the shop owner, and the shop owner would say, all the red capes are sold out. And the rulers would be like, odd, very odd. So they try another play, and they'd have the heroine of the play that day wearing a particular gold necklace. And then what do you know? All the women have sold out and bought out all the similar gold necklaces in the agora. Unbelievable. So this sort of hack humans by repetitive content, and then they started to say, how far can we push this? Can we go have them fight for us in war, where they're fighting our battles for us, where we get the benefit, but can we trick them to go for us and die for us? And someone says, I don't know, why don't we try a play tonight where the hero is adorned with gold and riches and women, and he walks in and everybody's cheering. And we'll play that for twice a week for 6 weeks. And then on the sixth week, they'd have a conscription table where you can volunteer for the Army. And everybody was signing up. And they were like, oh, boy, I like this. Repetitive content. And we can modify the content and make them do whatever we want them to do. Well, obviously, going to die for someone else's pillaging is as illogical as you could, you know, you're dying. You're literally dying to accomplish someone else's goal. That was the first goal they attained. That wasn't the last goal. That was the first goal. Wow. So the TV, of course, it was not developed to entertain. It was developed to entrain. And the reason was the traditional war model, where they would use repetitive content to get people to commit to traditional war, they would all meet in their boardroom and say, we got a problem with the traditional war model, because the house I really was eyeing on the other side of the battlefield, it's blown up. And his gold, I can't find his gold. We blew his house up. His car, his Ferrari collection, it's gone. These are the things I wanted to steal when I won the war. And then this group that I'm talking about would say, hold on a second. How about we get the people to go to war with themselves and remove themselves? Therefore, all the resources we want to pillage, they're still intact and we can theft them when they're gone. Someone says, how are you going to do that? That's crazy. Great idea, but it sounds you can't accomplish it. And you're like, well, let's invent a town square where these plays were and let's stick it to the wall in everybody's house. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, who's going to make that? Well, they know the humans are very creative. They just have to give them a little push. Humans will create anything for this group. This group, this historical group that I'm alluding to, is notoriously low IQ and very uncreative. They keep the humans around because we're a different animal. We're very naturally creative. So we created the TV, hung it on our own wall, brainwashed ourselves, and gave them everything they needed to like build this sort of control grid around us. And now they're like, okay, now that the control grid's up and running, and we want all their assets. And someone says, well, this is the time. Let's put the repetitive content out and let's get them to remove themselves. Let's get them to destroy their own economies. They'll get rid of themselves. And I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who think that this is just crazy talk, that, you know, it really couldn't be like this. But I tell you, when you start to look at fact after fact after fact, when your brain is in beta wave, right, and you look at how things have unfolded and you look at patent dates and so on and so forth, it's like there's not another explanation in my mind that there isn't something very dark behind all this, that this has been manipulated on purpose. And, yes, it's been so shocking for those of us who have been awake to what's going on, to see people harming themselves, harming their children in ways that they think they're doing what's right. They think that what they're doing is good, and they think people like us are just totally nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I can completely understand where they're coming from, and they don't really judge the negative feedback in their life, but this sort of someone else is going to take care of me situation, they've been working on this a long time as well. This is why kids, even in my generation, when I was leaving school, there was no first, second, or third. Everybody got a participation medal. We've been softened too, and that really helps the mind control, because no one wants a hard day. Like, the reason they're giving everybody a participation medal instead of telling the third place guy that he's got to run quicker is because the third place guy would be sad, face what's called the dark night of the soul, and actually put in a little bit more work, and he learns to deal with adversity. So if everybody was still under that paradigm where they're raised, we're like, yeah, if you're too dumb to pass, you're not going to pass. We're just going to keep you behind. Then he has to face the dark night of the soul, He's got to do more work. He's got to you know, put up or shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And
or figure out that, you know, that it's not about running a race for him, that there's going to be some other area in which he will be inspired to excel, something that's in alignment with who he is, because he's had to face, he doesn't fit into to this particular purpose, this particular tribe.
Yeah, so what I'm really saying is that there's a lot of clever modalities or structures in our society where everybody's adverse to conflict or having a hard day. So if you would ever consider, like if you're depressed, take a pill. Like don't assess your life. Don't assess your relationship. Don't assess what you're putting in your mouth. Just take a pill. Don't face the hard day. Like if you face the hard day unsedated, you might have to decide your marriage has got to end, your job's got to end, and you got to do something else. So the whole society is adverse to facing the hard day. It's already pre-programmed to be like that's purposeful. So the people you're talking about that think that sounds crazy, there's a good chance they're just pre-programmed to not want to face the hard day, right? To face the dark night.
Yeah, and the hard truth, because I think that when we begin to face these things, we realize the illusions we bought into. You know, people say the truth hurts. It's not the truth that hurts. It's recognizing that we bought into all sorts of illusions that really creates the pain and the inner angst. And yes, that we have to make different choices. We may need to make significant changes in our life. And all that is hard and painful and creates an uprising of grief and a letting go of things that we've been taught that it's better just to control, suppress and control as much as possible. So you're right, it's not an easy path, and yet ultimately it's a path of freedom, it's a path of authenticity, and it's a path that brings humanity into a more powerful realm.
Yeah, if they want to do the hard work. And again, there's 150 pieces in a watch. They all work together to accomplish one goal, which is tell the time. So this preconditioning the public to not want to face the hard day, Starbucks in every corner, and it was Bill Gates who actually, Starbucks was going to go bankrupt in 1986. They only had 30 stores, and it was Bill Gates who came in and rescued Starbucks. And now there's 36,000. And if you know, and someone says, oh, that's just capitalism. I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe. But if you, like in Canada, so alcohol is another cog in the watch. And in Canada 5 years ago, the federal government released its new healthy drinking guidelines, 15 drinks for men per week, 10 drinks per week for women. And so basically my own government is trying to tell me it's healthy to have 15 drinks a week. So the thing is, it's becoming obvious. So what we're seeing today is the covert ways they used to rule us, poisoning, stealing our money, brainwashing. They used to be voluntary. You could I don't drink. I don't drink coffee, I don't do drugs, I don't participate in the mind control, and I don't poison myself with anything. So that used to be voluntary. And now they're saying too many people are figuring out what Jason's figuring out. We're going to flip the script. We're going to make everything that used to be voluntary, we're going to make it mandatory. You have to do this. You have to do that. We have to take your money. You have to poison yourself. So they're trying to fit the circle, the square block now into the circle hole and saying, you're going to fit in there and we're going to use the biggest hammer possible to jam you down there. And I don't know if they have the power to do it.
And it's all in the name of freedom. So that's the kind of doublespeak that you hear a lot and you see a lot with mind control techniques. We control you so that you can be free. You know, you allow yourself to be controlled so you can access freedom. And it's crazy making. And what's so crazy is that people buy into that somehow You know, that's what they need to do. Even if it goes against what they think is right for their bodies, you know, for their lives, they'll do it because, you know, they think it's going to give them the freedom to have a job, the freedom to go to a concert, whatever it is. And it's kind of crazy that, that people think, oh, that's the path to freedom.
You only get, in this control grade, you only get the freedoms that don't count. This is what people have to focus on. And we call that freedom, not freedom. Freedom is F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B. So the only freedoms you'll get are the freedoms that you do not care. You do not need to go to a concert. You need the right to decide if you're going to go to the concert or not. And they're taking that choice away. That's not freedom. That's freedom, where everything that makes you dumb is provided free by the state. So freedom is about getting back to you making choices about your life. And government's only role is to protect you from government bullying. And that is, I mean, how is government working out for people today? I mean, a lot of people have warned against government, and it's so ingrained in us that it has to be there. It has to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can anybody not see that without government today, everybody's lives would be better?
You know, one of the things that people forget about, and I think you just alluded to that a moment ago, but I'm thinking here in the United States, the Constitution was written to prevent prevent government from harming its citizens. It was about citizens, you know, automatic rights, and it's gotten twisted into we're supposed to serve the government in a variety of ways. And it's what's so perplexing to me is that people buy into it.
Yeah, they buy into it because they're getting the perceived safety. And you can convince someone, like a kamikaze pilot it's called kamikaze mind control. I mean, kamikaze pilots had their subconscious hacked because the subconscious can't think long term. So they'd hack the subconscious of the kamikaze pilot and say, if you do X, Y, and Z, which was drive a loaded fighter jet into an enemy warship, you'll gain more points with the tribe. And the subconscious says, yeah, let's do that. But there is no tribe to revel in because you've blasted yourself off the planet. So what we're seeing today is the weaponization of subconscious mind control into the realm of kamikaze mind control, where people are being tricked. They say, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're really going to be safe. But if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to be blasting yourself off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called double bind mind control as well, where you have two equally crappy options that they're the only two crappy options on the table. Mm-hmm. So you can take door number one and perish, or you can take door number two and perish. And classical psychologists said if there's ever a situation where double bind mind control is the only option, where it's, you know, perish or perish, that's the trigger point where you know you're dealing with an evil force. And that's what we have. Take the medicine and perish, or lose your job and perish. Enjoy your freedom of choice, perish or perish. And psychologists has always used that as a litmus test to understand where citizens have to stand up and defend themselves, because pure evil is afoot.
One of the things I found so fascinating about this, Jason, is that not only has this come from the powers that be, which, you know, and we can talk about who they really are, but, you know, the representatives who are in the mainstream media. Let's see, where was I going with this? Oh, so it feels like it's top down, but then they programmed people, push their agenda. Some of the things I've seen in social media, talking about people who have a different perspective about what's going on, they demonize them. They say terrible things. We hope that they die, and we hope that they, you know, can't get medical care, whatever. And it's just mind-boggling that there is kind of like you know, the sheep are headed off the cliff, and there's some saying, don't go that direction, don't go that direction, and then, oh, let's push those off the cliff first. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But they've engaged those people who are in mind control to be some of the perpetrators.
Well, they're just doing, if you understand psychology, you understand it's very important to demonize in the opposite direction you want everybody to go, because it signals that it's not safe. Mm-hmm. So the subconscious is in charge of 94 to 97% of our behavior outside our conscious awareness, and it's always tabulating what's going on. So the more attack on one particular group will trigger the subconscious to veer away from that behavior at all costs, because there's no safety there. And everything they're doing is about psychologically manipulating the herd-based programming of the human animal to say, this isn't a safe herd to be in. This is a safer herd. And they're like, all you have to do to be in the safe herd or to be a hero. Like, this is the first time a lot of people in their lives have never accomplished anything either, because they've always been coddled by the state. So they're very hungry to, I've accomplished quite a lot in my life, so I'm not easy bait. But if you have someone who's, you know, just graduated from high school, then college, and out to work for the government as a middle manager or something, they really haven't accomplished anything. So that when you table the offer that they could be a hero just by doing X, Y, and Z, they usually jump at it because they were pre-programmed to be empty inside. So there's many different reasons why the population has grown to be weak over the last 40 years, and it has been preempted to move up into this sort of end game agenda where total control is going to be attempted to be implemented for health and safety, climate change, racial equality, and gender equality.
Right. And I think that there's plenty of people who have accomplished a lot in their lives, but they have been indoctrinated into a belief system, into a tribe. And if their tribe is espousing this belief, then they go along with it because that's their tribe. You know, that it's in alignment with their belief. I also think that there are aspects of this where on a subconscious level, people probably recognize that they're being controlled. On some level, they sense that they're being controlled. And if they can turn that around against somebody else to make themselves feel superior and in control, then it makes them feel better. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, the thing about the subconscious mind is once you establish the list through repetition, the list to be followed, the script to be followed, you know, the behavior that's going to get you the most marks and most bonding with the bigger herd, there's an automatic weaponization against the smaller group. So they're attacking the smaller group because it's the same program. What's on the list is safe. What's not on the list as a repetitive behavior, thought, or idea, that becomes the enemy. And the more repetitive the content, the more you weaponize the public against the supposed minority. And you can manufacture the minority or the majority through media. Like, you can literally say it could be 50-50 down the middle, and then you can have every media outlet in America say that, like, lie, which is propaganda, and say 80% are over here now and 20 are over there.
Right.
That can actually force the population to mirror the 80-20 because they're so afraid to be on the losing side. So you can literally manufacture the majority through media mind control and repetitive content, and that's why, you know, what five companies control all the media sources in the U.S. and in Canada, so they all hit you at the same time. So it doesn't matter what your radio station's on, doesn't matter what newspaper you're getting, it doesn't matter your TV station, and they're all telling the same lie and hacking the subconscious mind pathway of anybody that doesn't understand that the radio, print media, and TV are military weapons used by our historical enemies to have us, as their enemy, destroy our own country so they can walk in and take everything we got, including our pensions. Catherine Austin Fitz has been talking about this. Is about, like, if I can get you to remove yourself, like, you know, you go 1, 2, 3, 4 times down to the place to get your medicine, and you remove yourself, if I don't have to pay your salary and you can't will your pension to your kids or to your cousin, I got it all. And it's invisible. No, like, there's no bandit, you know, like no masked robbery. It's just automatic. And that's the best kind of theft, because the best part of, like, conventional warfare, when you're actually going to war and organizing it, compared to this warfare, is if I can trick you through psychological manipulation to remove yourself and remove your own children, you can't sue me. There's no law anywhere in the world where you can say, you tricked me to remove myself, and I'm going to seek legal and punitive damages against you. Nothing. So not only do they get assets intact that you would not get in conventional warfare, there is no trial for you because there's no charges to be laid.
Yeah. We're just about out of time, Jason. How do people connect with you?
Well, if they want to, after that little rant, they can email me at jason@freedomfromselfsabotage.com. They can go to my website. I do have home study programs that use the same brainwashing and mind control to, like, the same way they make humans a human mess. I use the same techniques and make them a human success. So if you go to jchristoff.com, it's Christ with an OFF on the end and just a single letter J, you can see some of my programs that you can study at home and learn about these very interesting modalities of mind control, brainwashing. I use TV shows and movies as analysis tools, and people would be very interested in what they're not seen in the backdrops of their movies or their TV shows.
This has been a great conversation, Jason. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And I want to thank everybody for joining us on this conversation. Please go and sign up for notifications on my YouTube channel, because we're getting these videos up on YouTube now.